Built this building is put that handrail for an old man like me. Else I might fall before I get up here. It's great to see each and every one of you, and I'm certainly glad to have this opportunity to be with you here at the Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, and trust the Lord will be with us. Hope you've all had a happy Easter. Once a year, the set aside for the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But us old Baptists do it every week. We do it every week. Why? Because on the first day of the week, which was Sunday, Christ rose from the grave. And that's why we meet on the first day of the week rather than the Saturday Sabbath. We meet to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we don't do it just once a week, once a year, we do it once a week. So that's the proper way to do it. Turn to a portion of scripture, and I want to read a good bit of this because I say this about this. It would be good for each and every one of us to read about five or six of these short scriptures every single day before we start our day. And if we did, and we followed the instructions of these few short scriptures, our life would be much better, and we would enjoy the eternal life that God has given to us by His grace much more if we did these things. It's found in the book of 1 Thessalonians, the very last chapter, and we'll begin there at verse 16. And as I read this, there is one particular thought that I want to pull out of this. Verse 16 says, "Rejoice evermore." Now that's a short scripture. Rejoice evermore. Rejoice evermore. pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 24, which is the scripture I want to concentrate on this morning. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Now I'm going to ask you a question this morning, and I want you to ponder it and think about it for a minute, because a preacher asked me this one time. We was having a conversation, and he asked me this question, and I never had thought of it. I never had considered the question. I never had even, and he kind of caught me off guard when he asked me, and I answered him wrong. He asked me, "Do you think that Christ had faith?" And I thought for a minute, how can one who knows the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, and knows things beforehand, even before they occur, and has foreknowledge, why would one like that need faith? And I said, no, he doesn't have faith. And that may be true to an extent. He doesn't have faith as I have and as you have. But he was faithful. As a matter of fact, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was faithful to the command of God the Father before the world began to come to this earth and to go to the cross and redeem a people that God the Father had given to him. The scripture says he was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And in his obedience unto God, he was faithful to God the Father. Now here I see is the difference between our faith and the faith that Christ had. In our faith, you know, the scripture describes in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, that great, or it might be 11, chapter 11, that great faith chapter, it gives us a definition of faith. It says, now faith is the evidence, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now for us, we have to accept things that we read from God's Word. We have to accept them by faith. But that faith is not of ourselves. It is of God. The scripture says in the book of Galatians chapter 5 that faith is one of the ninefold fruits of the Spirit. So in order for you to have faith in God, or have faith in His Word, or have faith in Jesus and who He was, you've got to be born again. You've got to have the Spirit of God in order to have that kind of faith. But this scripture says about Jesus, He is faithful. Now He was faithful in that He doesn't need to be faithful like you and I are. But when I say that Jesus is faithful, that Christ is faithful, that means whatever He says, whatever is His will, whatever He has promised, He will do it. It will come to pass because He is God in the flesh. And is God in the flesh, He cannot lie. The scripture says in the book of Titus, chapter 1, verse 2, we're in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. So he is faithful in that whatever he says, whatever his will is, he will do it. Now you and I have faith, but we don't have that kind of faith. We can't do that. We may promise somebody we're going to do something, and then something come up and we not be able to fulfill that promise. But whatever Christ has said, I can assure you he will do it. He will fulfill his promise. He's faithful that way, different than our faith. And this scripture says, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. So that's the faith of Christ. He is indeed faithful. Faithful is he that calleth you from death in trespasses and in sin unto eternal life, and gave you eternal life. He is faithful, and the scriptures hold out that Christ indeed is faithful. Now we want to take a look at some other scriptures that speak of the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. We'll find here in the book of 2 Thessalonians, it says the Lord is faithful. And this is a very interesting scripture here. It's found in the third chapter of the book of 2 Thessalonians, because it tells me that all men don't have faith. It even asks for prayer to be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. And I can remember when I was with the other order of people, we were always sending men over to men that were wicked, men that were evil, in order to change them so that they wouldn't be that way anymore. But Paul here asked for prayer to be delivered from such. He says in chapter 3 here of the book of 2 Thessalonians, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. Now what he's talking about there, he's saying pray that when we preach the gospel, it'll be received into the hearts of God's born again children, and it'll have free course, and it'll be glorified by the way they receive it, and by the way that they glorify and honor and praise God for a salvation that's of the Lord, and for a finished work of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. Pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course among God's born again children as we preach the gospel. And then he says, and he also asks for prayer, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. Now what he is saying, Paul, don't you want to be preach the gospel to wicked and unreasonable men, that they may receive the word and accept Christ and become children of God? No, that's not the way it works. No, they're unreasonable. There's wicked men out into the world. It's that way in the world in which we live today. There is men in the world today that would behead every one of us here in this building for being here to worship the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, they're wicked. I'm telling you, they're unreasonable men. I'm telling you further, they are not God's children. They have not been born of God, or they wouldn't have any such attitude as to wanting to kill somebody else in order to protect their own view in life. There's unreasonable and wicked men in the world in which Paul preach the gospel than there's wicked and unreasonable men in the day in which we live. And we better pray for our country that we will protect the borders of this country and keep those wicked and unreasonable men from entering in and interfering with our freedoms and interfering with our safety as citizens here in the United States of America. And we need to pray that our leaders will recognize and see that there's unreasonable and wicked men in the world in which we live, and we need to protect our borders from them entering in to our country. Finally, brethren, pray that we might be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. Why? For all men have not faith. Everybody doesn't have faith. Who has it? Those that God has reached down and rescued from the fallen state they're in Adam and given them, not offered to them, but given to them eternal life. The scripture says this about that, the wages of sin. We're all receiving the wages for our sin. The wages of sin is death, but the gift, did you hear me? Not the offer, but the gift, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you have the hope of eternal life within your bosom this morning, it's because God by His grace and His mercy gave it unto you. And you have that hope because He gave it unto you, not because you conjured it up inside of you and brought up faith within you. No, there was a time before you were born again when you didn't have faith, and when you receive this eternal life, then you have a faith to exercise yourself before God. Pray that we might be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. And then he says, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. The Lord is the one that is established you into His Word, has established you into the truth of His gospel, has established you into the things of God, and has established you into the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. And He keeps you from evil. He keeps you wanting to follow after Him and to resist the flesh and to resist the devil and live a life here upon this earth while we live here in our lifetimes to keep us from evil and to keep us from those things. Yes, the Lord indeed is faithful, as it says there. Now we want to turn over to 2 Timothy. It says here in this particular portion of Scripture that the Lord abideth faithful. Yes, He does indeed abide faithful. Beginning at verse 7 there of chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, it says, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. And what salvation there is he talking about? He's talking about the timely salvation that we all experience when we realize and know that we were sinners, unworthy of the least of God's mercies, and He reached down and rescued us and gave us eternal life and set us upon a rock, that rock being Jesus Christ, who went to the cross, laid down down. His life was buried in Joseph's new tomb and rose again that third day from that tomb. What a great and wonderful thing it is to have that knowledge and understanding about yourself, that God has rescued you and saved you through the works of Christ on the cross of Calvary. Yes, we believe, he said, yet we suffer also. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Now, like that 13th verse of that second chapter there of 2 Timothy, people say, well, you got to believe in order to go to heaven. No, that scripture says Christ is going to save his children even if they believe not, because belief is only that that brings you salvation here in time. It doesn't bring you salvation in eternity. Christ went to the cross. He paid the debt. He finished the work. And when he finished it, it was finished for who? For an innumerable host, more than I can count, more than you can count, more than I can know about, more than you can know about. But all that God knows, each and every one of them, and they will all, to the very last one, be with him in heaven and immortal glory one day when we're all in that wonderful place called heaven for an eternity. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Yes, he is faithful. He's faithful, and he went to the cross. He was in obedience to God the Father, and on the cross he finished the work of salvation for all that God the Father had given to him in a covenant of grace before the world was. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. And then in verse 15, and I like this verse 15 because it tells me something. People say, some churches want to establish a Bible study, a group Bible study. Now, I'm not opposed to Bible study. Each and every one of us ought to study our Bible. I'm not opposed to some of you getting together to discuss the Bible on occasion about certain things you may have in your mind, to see what someone else thinks. That's all right. But when you get ready to study your Bible, you get this book and you get down on your knees and you ask God to be with you in the study of it, and to reveal to you the meaning of it and the words of it. And I'm telling you, you'll find God will answer that prayer, and he'll reveal to you the spirit and the beauty of his word from your individual study of it. Now, this scripture tells us to study it, but it doesn't say anything in here about studying it with someone else. It doesn't say getting together with others and studying the Bible. You can call it anything you want to. Some people call it Sunday school. Some want to call it Bible study. It doesn't make any difference what you call it. It's not authorized in the scripture to do it. You're the individually, each and every child of God, individually, to study the scriptures on your own. Just you and God the Father and the Holy Spirit leading you through the word. He says in here, study to show thyself. Now listen, study to show thyself, not to study to show a group that you met together with. Study to show thyself approved unto who? Approved unto God, study of the scriptures should be between you, each individual one of you, and God. A study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And if you'll study that way, I'm telling you, God will give you the information to rightly divide the word of truth. Now, am I saying that you'll understand and fully comprehend every single scripture? No, you won't. That proves to me this is God's word. It takes His Spirit to lead you through it as you study it. But you're to study it between you and God. That's how Bible study comes about. Now, I didn't mean to get into that, but that scripture was there, so I thought I'd hit it that way. Now we want to turn over here to the book of Hebrews, where we'll see another scripture that talks about the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He was a faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, that He made reconciliation for our sins. He was faithful at the command of God the Father to come to this earth, to go to the tree of the cross, and to redeem us from our sins. We'll find it says here in Hebrews chapter 2, but we see Jesus, verse 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became Him for whom are all things, by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory. And I like the way that scripture says, bringing many sons unto glory. There's no universalism in that scripture. That says many. How many? An innumerable host of our children, an innumerable host of children that God the Father, before the world began, chose and elected out of a fallen people, chose and elected them and set them in a covenant of grace, sent His Son here to redeem them. The many sons that God chose for both He that sanctified and they that are sanctified are all of one. For cause, which cause He is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto Him. And again, I will put my trust in Him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given to me. Now that's just as clear as you can get. You can't get no clearer than that. He's doing it for all the children that God the Father gave to Him. Who are they? They are the elect, those that God chose before the foundation of the world, before you had anything to do with it, before I had anything to do with it. God chose them. God wrote their names in the Lamb's Book of Life. Christ came to this earth, went to the cross, bled and died for every single one of them. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily He took not on Him the nature of angels, but He took on Him the seed of Abraham. And then in verse 17 it speaks of the faithfulness of Christ. It says, wherefore in all things it behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest. Yes, He was a merciful high priest. He was a faithful high priest. He was obedient unto God the Father to come here to redeem us on the tree of the cross. A faithful and a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. And Jesus went to the cross. According to the gospel, Jesus went to the cross. He died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was taken down from that cross after he gave up the ghost and placed in a borrowed tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, where he lay there 3 days and three nights. And on that third day, he came forth from that grave, giving us victory over death, victory over hell, and victory over the grave. Yes, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, He is a faithful high priest. He is faithful to God the Father, and He is faithful in that anything you read in this book that Jesus said He would do, Jesus said He's coming back. I accept that by faith. I accept that by the faith that God's planted within here. But Jesus, if He said He's coming back, you can count on it. He's faithful and He's coming back. I thank you for your attention. May the Lord bless and keep you, is my prayer. Now pray for Elder Martin as he comes to preach to us.
Oh, my God, when I